Blog Talk Radio.
Best boxing podcast in the world.
Are you ready? No! I said, are you ready?
Got an excuse tonight, Roy?
Let's not ask questions like that. Let's test go to work.
Tonight, Roy.
Let's go to work.
You ain't shit. You got shit.
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
You won't do shit.
You don't know shit.
What's going on, everybody? Cheap Seats Boxing Show live on Blog Talk. Our first time, me and JP here. JP, what's up, brother?
Nothing. You got me.
I told you I was going to do it. First things first, follow us on Twitter at Cheap Seats Box. And those who want to listen to the show on iTunes and Stitcher, go ahead, leave us a rate and review, and you'll be the next unofficial sponsor. JP, we've got 30 minutes. We're going to do it quick, so let's just get right into it, man. Last weekend, man, Cotto Canelo. Canelo controls it. I wouldn't say dominated, but I'd say he definitely controlled the fight, definitely deserved the win. What do you think about the performance of Cotto, man, or Canelo?
Yeah, man, it's another step up, man. It's not that he won, it's how he won. Sharper punches, harder punches. He took all the advantages. I think he mentally was smarter in that fight, and not just in his tactics and his punch output, but his punch selection. And I gotta say this because it was like 55, but it was for a middleweight title. He took full advantage of the weight. And I think, he was on top of his game. I like Cotto, but Canelo brought it to him.
Yeah, see, and, the fight went kind of exactly how I thought it would. You know, it would be close early. I thought Cotto would start off kind of quick, and he did, but about halfway through the fight, most people had it about even, maybe Canelo up 4-2. And then Canelo took control of the last six rounds, which I thought he would do. I think it shocked a lot of people, but it didn't really shock me because going into the fight, I even said that I thought, Cotto, his skills were a little overrated and Canelo's was a little underrated. I think that's exactly what we saw because, Cotto tried to box him and couldn't outbox him. So, that tells you that Canelo's skills are a little bit more than what he gets credit for.
Yeah, I think Canelo has a problem with movement, but you have to be moving and punching, not just the moving and reset. And Cotto couldn't take advantage of that. And plus, I got to give Cotto strategical and defensive credit because he took away the left hook from the jump. He took away, you're going to win, you're going to win without that. And that's a boss move right there.
Yeah. And everybody, they want to know, what's next for Canelo and Cotto. For Cotto, we don't know. He may take the time away. Who knows what's going to go on. As far as Canelo goes, the fight with Triple G, as much as people want to happen next, and I think it should because that was part of the contractual obligation, was, hey, he's next. But, we'll see. Don't be surprised if Triple G takes one more step aside fee this time from Canelo, and then I think they may fight in September. I don't know if they're going to fight in May, but I would think that it's going to be September.
I have a different outlook on this, I guess, because I remember prior to the fight, Oscar saying that he could make 54. And I remember that, you know, if you make 55, you can make 54. My heart says Canelo will fight anybody. Fighting Triple G would be a very interesting fight. But I think one of the problems with fighting Triple G immediately is unless it's close fights and they make, like, multiple fights, they burn out their cash opportunity. So part of it is like, you know, maybe it's time for Golden Boy to do the exact same thing Floyd did in reverse. Maybe it's time for them to get other fighters to line up for Canelo at 54. Because there's a bunch of them there. You know what I'm saying? So he could possibly fight Pacquiao at 54 and then jump to Triple G, because that would kind of set the stage for two great pay-per-views, at least financially speaking, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or he can fight other fighters that, you know, and just constantly beat top guys. I wouldn't, you know, maybe the Charlo brothers might fight him. Who knows? Maybe even Sean Porter, because he can make 54, but he's bigger than actually, you know, 47 anyways. So, I mean, there's a plethora of fighters out there hovering around 54 that could give him more longevity in fighting, at least, as far as more competition. But when you get to 60, it's just Triple G and that's it. And, I mean, that is a great thing, and it sucks.
Their guess is as good as mine. People have said, you know, maybe Lemieux, but I don't think Golden Boy re-sacrifices them, you know, to lose two in a row, and then you kind of lost everything. I mean, they could, you know, if Triple G isn't, you know, if it's something they're not going to push right away, you know, you never know, you know, because he's such a threat. But, you know, you rebuild David Lemieux, and then all of a sudden, you know, you can build that fight, you know, as something that is going to gauge where he's at comparatively to Triple G.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I think 60 has enough up-and-coming talent besides Triple G, but they don't have enough consistent people, as many consistent people as 54 does, as just as name recognition. So, I mean, it can go either way. I mean, personally, I think the Pacquiao fight would be the best thing, you know, because, you know, we talked about it previously that, you know, somebody needs to take those dates. So Canelo is in that spot to take that May-September date constantly. So the issue is not who deserves a date and who should get it. The issue is who's the opponent.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Manny says he's ready in April. I mean, I think Triple G would sit back for that just because he can build up a bigger name during the process, and he'll also get paid at the pay-per-view because the pay-per-view should sell, you know. So if they gave him step aside for that, it's understandable. But it's just an interesting situation with the WBC because they might want a defense earlier than September.
Yeah. Hey, the fight of the night, though, probably was Takashi Miura and Francisco Vargas, man. What a battle, man. I mean, Vargas is kind of beat up, and, you know, he starts the fight off good, gets a knockdown, or, you know, he gets him early. He looks like he's in control. Pretty soon, Miura is back in control, and looks like he's dominating the fight. He's got him cut on both, you know, top and below the eye, and looks like he's in control of the fight. And then, you know, one shot, man, and this fight is damn near, you know, it's over. What do you think about just the fight in general, man?
Fight of the year.
Yeah.
Screw it. Fight of the year. And both of the, and that's a definite fight that we would love to see a rematch. And no offense to nobody in that fight, the referee that could have been a good call by stopping it, because Miura, he was not going down. He had to save it from himself. And it could have been a bad call because he had been rocked before and he fought his way back. So congratulations. To me, it's just a congratulations fight because no matter what you say, Vargas earned that.
Yes.
You know, he had hands down, he earned that. He went through the fire on that one, from dominating to getting whacked to almost looking like it was over to ending it. Oh, no, he earned that and definitely hats off, congratulations. That was to me not just the fight of the night, but the fight of the year, because those two guys came to fight.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, man. Then, of course, the Rigo stinker, and I think, you know, I made the comment during, after the fight, and then to, you know, other people. I talked to Neeson, my buddy Neeson, and I was just saying, you know, for the first time, I think that Rigo fans felt, they kind of started to see what it was like watching a fight for us who aren't, or for me at least, who isn't the biggest Rigo fan, you know what I mean? They finally got a taste of what, how we see Rigo fights. You know, not the most exciting to us.
Man, I'm not going to lie, I like Rigo, but I did almost fall asleep watching the fight. I was waiting for it to be over because the fight before it set up a good pace. Rigo fight just shot it down. And Miura Vargas actually made that fight, brought the card to a higher level and made you forget about the Rigo fight, to be perfectly honest. You know, but, yeah, it was boring. You know, he had some funny moments when he slip old guy and it fall through the ropes and all that. But it was boring.
Yeah.
And I think he just needs – I think at this point, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. If he don't have a quality dance partner, he shouldn't dance.
Yes, sir. We can just jump right into it, man. I mean, you know, like I said, this is a quick show. We're trying to get it in before Thanksgiving. We want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. This weekend, you know, there's a lot of fights on, man. Arizandy Laura is getting ready to fight on ESPN. James DeGale is fighting Lucien Boutte. The Lucien Boutte-DeGale fight is interesting. I want to see where it goes. You know, I want to see if DeGale, the way that Boutte looked last time, he should control the fight and dominate the fight. If he doesn't, that, you know, doesn't bode well because, you know, Boutte didn't show much, you know, not the last fight, but the fight before that. He kind of looked like he'd kind of given up as far as effort-wise. So I want to see more from DeGale, see if he can capitalize on you know, winning the title from Anthony Peterson, or Anthony Durrell, sorry.
Durrell?
Different brother. Yeah, Anthony Durrell, different brother. But, of course, the big fight for me, you know, for everybody is Vladimir Klitschko and Tyson Fury on HBO on Saturday, man. What do you think about that fight coming up, man? You know, how do you see it going?
I would have to favor Klitschko off of the. I can't get that Steve Cunningham knockdown out of my head.
Yeah.
So if Cunningham can knock you down, I feel Vlad can knock you out. But I gotta say, Vlad going to see Shannon Briggs' fight because he just won like a second round knockout, and I think them saying that he signed to fight him next. That's a bit presumptuous. He's overlooking. It's like he's almost overlooking Tyson Fury, which makes it like, you know, you do that, you're going to get yourself hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I take Vlad in the fight, but those actions seem to be overlooking him. It can prime him for an upset. But I don't see Tyson Fury having the actual skills to beat him. And it's just that Steve Cunningham knocked down. I think, you know, that says a lot to me.
Yeah. I think a lot of people have hanging their hats on that, and that's the thing that's scary, you know, as far as, like, you know, can Fury last long enough to get into a groove with his jab and use his size, or is it just going to be the first big hand, the big right hand that Vlad lands? Is that going to end the fight? You know, and then sometimes, I've said it before, you know, if sometimes when a person is prepared to get hit harder than they've ever gotten hit, that kind of helps them with their punch resistance. And hopefully, you know, I'm being very selfish in this fight. I don't think Tyson Fury is going to win, but I want him to win. So I really, really hope that he's bringing everything he has to this fight, because he's going to need it. You know, as much shit as we give Vlad sometimes about being boring, man, he's still effective in what he does. And as long as he's able to, when you get close to him, to clutch and grab you, it's really hard to get any kind of offense going. You know, it's all based on the jab. If Fury can get his jab going, he's got a chance to hang in there and, you know, possibly pull off something late. You never know. But if he can't get that jab off, I mean, Vlad's probably going to control him. But, you know, like I said, selfishly, I'm really rooting for Tyson Fury. I think he'd be a great marketer for the heavyweight division right now, because they got nothing right now.
True. Like, the thing about it is, if I was looking at, like, from a distance, I would say, okay, how could you win? And I would say, okay, if I'm Tyson Fury, I win beating Vladimir Klitschko, similar to how Vladimir I stand tall, I fight tall, and I jab and straight Vladimir Klitschko to death, because I'm tall and I have a longer reach. But the problem is, Tyson Fury is he doesn't have a demeanor like that. He wants to take his head off, so I think he's gonna shorten himself. And to me, that's his disadvantage. Even though I like the aggression, I think it will frustrate the hell out of Vladimir Klitschko to try to, you know, to be getting out jabbed by a taller fighter from a distance. He's like, how the hell am I going to do this? Because he's not like his brother. His brother could throw all caution to the wind and just say, I'm going to hit you with something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, I would like it too, because Batman is a trip, but
yeah.
I just don't see him having the skills to do it.
Yeah, I tell you what, you know, Tyson Fury can lose and still be viable, but for this fight, I would love to see him win. He wins the title, then he loses, then he's viable for a while, and he's kind of a breath of fresh air for the heavyweight division. I know his antics are over the top, but, you know, the heavyweight division hasn't had a personality in a long time, and unless Shannon Briggs can, you know, coerce Vlad into giving him a shot, you know, we're not going to have any kind of characters right now. We just don't have it. We do have a lack of characters in the heavyweight division. And the heavyweight division has always been built on characters from the early 1900s until, you know, right before, you know, through the Mike Tyson era, you know what I mean? We've always had characters, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and that says something about people's imaging, because I think the heavyweight division is in that space where it's in that Joe Louis space, you know, where Joe Louis didn't want to be Jack Johnson. You get what I'm saying? He didn't want to be Jack Dempsey. He didn't want to be the bad guy. So everybody's like extra cautious and calm, and you know. But every now and then you got to shake it up. Like you need. That's why a Sonny Liston was needed. That's why Ali was needed. You know, that's why George Foreman in a sense was needed. You need that. What's the use of being the baddest man on the planet if you're not going to act like it every now and then?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, 100% agree with that. So I know you got Vlad in the fight. You know, how do you think he wins, and when do you think he wins? You know, does it go 12? You got him a knockout. You know, how do you see it?
I mean, actually, I think he wins by knockout in this fight, because I actually think that Tyson ain't running from nobody. I think he's aggressive. And I don't think he runs into something, but I think he's aggravating enough to piss Vlad off enough to actually try to get him out of there. But but do it in a way that capitalizing on his mistakes, you know, because I don't think Tyson Fury is going to let him just punt him to death. I think this is a fight where Tyson Fury is like, either I'm going to knock you out or I'm getting knocked out. You know, I don't think Tyson gives him an option in this fight.
See, I'm kind of on the other side. I'm not the other side of, like, I think, you know, if I had to bet that Tyson Fury is going to win. But I think a lot of his braggadocious ways, you know, I'm going to knock him out. This, you know, I think he's, you know, probably not successfully, but getting Vlad, hopefully looking for him to be coming out strong and kind of reckless in the beginning, looking for the knockout. But I see Tyson Fury getting a little bit more measured. I think he's going to try to jab him. And if I was Fury, what I would do is I would Vlad. I would punch him. Yeah, you know, with the jab, I would jab him. He gets close, clutch him. You know, kind of give Vlad a taste of his own medicine. And because a lot of times, you know, you see a lot of these guys, they do one or two things with Vlad. They come right after him and try to knock him out, or they go into a shell and just try to last 12. But how many people really try to sit there and establish your jab and slowly break down Vlad and clutch him if he gets too close, you know? I see him as kind of just going with more of a fight plan that he did to Chisora in their second fight. And, you know, I think he's going to get knocked out. A lot of people are seeing it early. I'm going to say about the 10th round he's going to get knocked out. But I see Fury actually up 5-4 going into that 10th round. And that would be best-case scenario for him, but outside of winning the fight for Tyson Fury. If he could do that where he was up on the card, you know, at the time of the stoppage, it would do great. It would do so much more for him in his loss than it ever did for any of his other wins. Hopefully if he does that, we can get either a rematch or a Shannon Briggs fight just for the pure
entertainment.
Fun. Yeah, exactly. I mean, you talk about a 24/7, which is only going to be, it's really only going to be a one side 24/7, but I would actually pay to see it, even if it's on the internet. I don't care. It's just going to be a left go chance 24/7.
If it, a perfect scenario would be Tyson Fury wins by knockout and then he fights Shannon Briggs. That would be like the classic 24/7 right there. You know?
If HBO's smart, they would run and try to sign Fury right away for something like that because they could definitely sell that 24/7.
That fight would be hilarious. Did you see the thing about Frotch coming back?
Yeah. You think he's, I mean, who's going to fight? Is he going to fight DeGale? You know, I just don't know.
Well, he said he's fighting 75.
Who the hell is he going to fight at 75? I mean,
who's at 75?
If he's going to fight at 75, then don't be surprised if Bernard Hopkins comes calling.
Because Bernard said he got surprised for next year. I remember that.
I mean, because you know Bernard's going to fight one more time. It's just going to happen.
Yeah.
He has to fight at 50, you know, at 50, so. So he wants to, you know, and maybe it's not Frotch, maybe it's somebody else. You know, he's going to go for a title in his 50s. You know, that's just, and you know that that's just what he's about. That's who he is.
I mean, weird scenario. If I was Frotch and I'm going to 75, I mean, I think this is the perfect time for him and Ward to fight again. Because Ward don't know, you know, if he's talking about moving up. You know, both of them, it'll be a new weight for them. They both had the layoffs and seem a bit, you know, will seem a bit rusty, but they both know each other. So I think it'll be interesting. Or somebody's got to fight the Crusher. It's one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I don't see Pascal making it in this next fight.
No, absolutely not. And if you saw, you know, what Kovalev, what his plans are for next year, and we'll see how lucky he is to get any of that. But, you know, he wants three fights, and he wants, you know, the Pascal rematch is in January, I think it is, and then he wants Adonis Stevenson and then ending the year with Ward. If he does that, I mean, he would go right to the top of the mountain as one of the greatest light heavyweights ever, just doing something like that in 1 year, you know what I mean? If he was to come out victorious through all that.
I mean, Pascal, that's easy. Adonis, the way Adonis ran in here, that's easy. Not a word, that would be a task. He would definitely be the fighter of the year. Definitely,
he's
hands down. No, no,
yeah,
no question, no deny.
I mean, you, if you, you know, you have names on there like Wardkins and even Stevenson on your, you know, on your resume as wins. I mean, that's pretty impressive. I mean, you would be talking about, you would have beaten what, the
three champions,
three or four, but yeah, three champions, maybe, and the best in that division of the last probably what, 10 years, besides Chad Dawson.
Yeah, and that's pound for pound love, right? That's pound for pound. You can't say that, you know, that would make him pound for pound king.
Yeah.
That year was like, yeah, you know what? Nobody else. They do your fight of the year, and they had to say the next year he's number one pound for pound. There's no way to get around that.
Absolutely.
But a sharp Andre Ward, that's a task. That's a task. You know. And it's a dope thing to say, I want him at the end of the year, because he's like, I'm giving you time to get sharp. I want the best one. So that's a whole other statement.
Mm-hmm.
So this is it.
Yeah. Well, if he can do it, it'd make it exciting, you know, spice up 2016, because, you know, for as much as we've had big fights in 2015, it's been kind of a dud year. So he could definitely make 2016 his year.
It's time for the fight to kick up a notch.
Yeah, absolutely. We got about 2 minutes left, JP, before we end this, man. And before we go, I do want to say happy Thanksgiving to you, brother. And, you know, I'll see you next week, man. But just real quick, man, just hitting up on, you know, Gilberto Ramirez did win his fight. Didn't look very impressive on Friday. I mean, he did what he had to do, but, I mean, it is what it is. He's been kind of, to me, at a stalemate. And like we said, we thought Arthur Abraham would win. He won. Looks like they may fight next. You know, I don't know.
Okay.
Who wins, to me, is all depends on where that fight takes place.
Right. Before I said, I'm about to say, I appreciate and happy Thanksgiving to you too. But do people really think that Arthur Abraham won the fight? Or did he win the home field?
It's Germany. We knew him. We said that going into it. He may not win
right.
the fight, but he's going to win the fight.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just,
and all the people got to do is go back to our show and they'll hear what we said. That he's in Germany. He's going. You know, unless Martin Murray takes his head off, he's winning that fight.
Pretty much. Go for it.
Oh, no, I was going to say, just real quick, man, and, you know, Anthony Crawler did beat Darles Perez in the rematch with a body shot. I was shocked that he stopped Darles Perez, but congratulations to him. And, you know, the UK has been their year. And, you know, we said that at the beginning of the year that this was going to be their year, and they've taken a lot of titles home to the UK.
Not only is this their year, they're setting up to start to run next year, too.
Yep.
They really are.
Hey, JP, man, we're down to our last few seconds, man. So I just want to let everybody know, follow us at Cheap Seats Boxing. Listen to us on iTunes, and we'll see you next week. Peace.
Peace.
You there, brother? You still there?
I'm here.
All right, man. I just had to get it in. I got the timer on here. You know, it's pretty cool. I can control this son bitch through my phone, man. Pretty easy.
Yeah. I learned a little bit, but I didn't know you was going to really do it, though.
Yeah, it's like, fuck it. It's just easy. It kept us on the time. But it's just so damn expensive to pay for a year, you know, to pay for.
How much?
You know, the fucking like $360.
So I'll pay you on Monday.
Outside in the backyard. But yeah, I'll let you know. I'll see. I've been looking at it because, like, they, you know, I mean, I'm trying to figure out, maybe they'll have a Black Friday sale.
I had Oh, are you serious? Like, wait a minute.
Yeah. I wanted to try it out, and I was like, you know what? You know, Thanksgiving's coming up. How many people are really going to listen this week? Because, you know, most of the people ain't even working. So I was like, fuck it. Let's just try it, man. And then I'll be able to see how many people actually come back and listen to the show on the Blog Talk part of it. So.
Oh, yeah. When it is going to open up over a little bit over time and listeners, and then the show gets longer because of that. But I know for a fact, boy, people going to love to call in. They're going to love
it. Oh, yeah. I didn't figure out until halfway through how to link it up to Twitter and all that shit. I was literally just learning on the fly right now, doing it, you know.
It's cool. Like, I've been on a few of them. It's cool. Like, I know it talks to you in the time, but it tells you, you know, you got this many minutes, you got this, you got 30 seconds. So, you know, I know about that.
Yeah,
that's
what it did. Yeah, well, it also tells you, you know, I saw the timer the whole time, and then it'll tell me who called in, and, you know, I knew nobody was going to call in the first one because we've never done it before, so there's no history with it, and we didn't promote it, so.
Well, hey, that's how we did it the first time. We get all the cakes out, and then everybody comes.
That's it. Come on, Chico, get in.
That's
what are you doing tomorrow,
man?
Yeah, it was, man.
I'm cooking
it really
tonight because they got people coming tomorrow. And we're going to fry turkey.
Okay. Five?
Huh?
Did you say five or are you fried?
Frying.
Oh, okay.
I ain't doing fried turkey. Hell no.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm gonna start chopping up all these onions and these peppers. Cause I'm gonna get the side dishes out the way. I plan to be able to watch the game like everybody else at 12.
Yeah. I'm the same
How
way.
Y'all doing?
Oh, good, man. We just gonna have. We'll be here. My buddy will come over. He always does. My daughter and the kids will be here, and then we'll probably go to my dad's tomorrow night.
That's cool.
So, see, it's like I said, my wife and my daughter, they went to the store, and I got the kids over here, so I went outside and did the show outside, just sat on the patio.
See, that's dope, man. That is so cool. Shit.
I didn't believe I could scroll through my phone.
Yeah, I've known it to be able to happen, but a lot of people do it over the computer.
Yeah.
From you know, but shoot, I mean, as it grows, you're gonna need the computer because they're gonna have like a little call log the line.
Yeah. Well, I can see the lines on here. I can see the lines on here. So.
Oh, but they're going to blow up, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how I pulled you up right away.
Yeah. Oh, as a matter of fact, that's another thing. In the beginning, if people call in, they might automatically get put in sometimes.
Oh, okay.
You know, that has been known to happen because sometimes people are pressed. At a certain point, you got to make them press one to come in if they want to talk or not. So they'll beep.
Yeah.
I think it beeps blue when you do that. But in the beginning, sometimes when people are calling, they're just going to go right through.
Yeah. Well, I think I can turn you off. I can turn you where you're just listening or stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who knows? I don't know what I can control.
But it has a glitch in there because numerous shows that were happening on.
Yeah.
Because I don't watch TV, a lot of times I might listen to a lot of Blog Talk.
Okay.
And when shows like first started or they had to switch like certain things, it would always happen. I don't know if they got rid of the process of it because of shows that I normally listen to, they like maybe 6 months past that.
Hmm.
Wait.
That's cool, man. So you're off the rest of the week,
Yeah, unless they call me. I mean, if they call me for Friday, Saturday, whatever. I mean, I feel a little bit better now, but shit. I was stuck. Was it bad?
No, last 2 days hasn't been bad, man. They did, shit didn't even get out the half of the Advos, and there's 2 sets this week.
Oh, shit. I don't want to come back then.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Ship me Monday. But go ahead, man. I'm going to eat some Chinese food and start cooking.
All right, man.
Appreciate
you, man.
Thank you.
All
right. It's going to be fun,
later,
man.
Later, bro.
Absolutely.
Later, man.
Peace.
Peace.